Berman, Shus, and Rav Gennady Morad Asran, the one who convenes this important evening from year to year. Shus Rav Reichman, probably the most prominent of the Mefitzei Torah Sarav, and assuring that it has a place in every base medrash, Rav Boisai. We have an evening tonight of Sivsoiso Dovres Bekever, that chance to discuss the Torah of the Rav and give the Torah itself a great chiyus. But the truth is that hardly 2 or 3 days go by in Shir where we don't invoke an insight of a Soloveitchik and a principle in a way of reading a certain text. So let me spend a few moments this evening discussing an idea that the Rav discussed. The first two public shurim I heard of the Rav when I came to New York in 75. So there were two public shurim that the Rav Lethem was already giving in English. And in the first, he was discussing the idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu's halacha is divided into mishpat l'chok and chok. Chazal say, she'osur lahar achar, that we can't deeply ponder or try to analyze the chok. In the second shir, he was analyzing the idea of hiktim nasa l'nishma, and that was highly prized by the malachim migila rozeh lebana. In both cases, the Rav was troubled, and this became clearer in the second shir, something that Rav Rosenzweig alluded to, and that is that it seemed to be that in core, such a core concept of Torah, both the chok and the moment of the matan Torah, that the individuality and that the creativity of an individual was being suppressed, was being mitzumtzum. And this greatly troubled the Rav, because Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is a mitziah, a tes, is not lemalachi hashoreis. It's nitna Torah neyodam. The lo b'shamayim a navi rishay lechadesh davar. So the greatness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah was to come to full expression, as the Rosenzweig developed, by the human intellect and by the creative human intellect. So how you talking that a huge section of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah should be defined as a osur l'harachar, and how you talking that the moment of Matan Torah should be defined as hiktim nasa l'nishma, which is the suppressing of human creativity. Davka, at that moment, there should be a greater thrust. The Rav addressed this in two fashions. First shir, when he discussed chok, he explained that the unique aspect of chok, the laws that we cannot understand, has four different additions to the normal understanding of accepting a discipline which sometimes requires great submission. The Rav used to use the word that we surrender. We surrender our intellect and our ability. Surrender nowadays doesn't carry the same notion, because people don't surrender now. They have ceasefires. They negotiate. But those of us who are still remember the years after the proliferation of film strips and movies of the Second World War, and the concept of people surrendering, people just giving us, in fact, in a footnote in Lonely Man of Faith, the Rav uses the word that we're defeated by the Rabboni Shalom. And the idea of struggling with an idea, of having an approach that speaks to our intellectual depth, of having an idea that resonates with us, and then having to say, we're not going to follow that. One of the powerful stories that the Rav would tell would be of a situation when the Rav felt that he was being criticized for being in an ivory tower and not being able to help out the Rabbanim in the field. He said he recalled a situation where there was a young woman who was a Geyoris, a Ger Tzedek, and was advancing and fell in love with a young man, and they were advancing their learning. The young man was not from, but the Geyoris was learning and learning and pulling this young man along. And then as the relationship became more romantic and deeper, so then the young man learned that he's a kohen. And the Rav would recall that question came to his doorstep. And the pain that he felt, because the Rav was romantic, as we know from many of his writings. And he said, I know full well what it means to have to hear that halacha says no. And you could feel the pain that he felt, the idea of surrendering, being defeated, kiviyachol, in one of one's life choices. So the Rav used to point out that the innovation of chol within our thinking is that even mishpat has chol, even that which makes sense to us, there is a level of chol. He gave the example of that the issur of murder is mishpat, but sometimes when it comes to the to a situation where a person requests death because of a merciful moment, right? So that is when chol is now applied to mishpat. He described how chol gives a nischius to Torah because it can't be tampered. Any individual law cannot be tampered, cannot be reconfigured by human insight. And that is certainly true for the system of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. He explained how a chol sometimes explains to us how people have to react, that tzaddik would react to a gzeira, to a difficult decree. That when human, in life, when one is dealt terrible blows, so also laharacharov, we learn that from the chok. And finally, he said that the chok was part of the ways that God created the world. Shlomo Melech describes how the Ribono Shel Olam Shesam, he put limitations to the waters, the great waters of the world, and put limitations. The sumay liyam chuko. That he, Baruch Hu, communicated the oneness of the natural world and of the halachic world by instituting chok. But then, when it came to the second presentation that the Rav gave, Mi Gilo Rozeh, who explained this great secret, such a great secret that we have to limit our insight when we were offered a Torah Selakim. That's such a great secret that the Malachim were wondering. Shehikdim Nasa L'Nishma. So these two concerns that the Rav had, they seemingly contradictory concerns. On one hand, Hikdim Nasa L'Nishma sounds to be antithetical to the enterprise of Torah. On the other hand, it seems to be so obvious, why were the Malachim so terribly impressed at Megillah Rozeh? The Rav then introduced that at Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift of the Ritzon Elyon, concept that comes from the Sforim HaKadoshim, from the more mystical writings. The Rav wrote that, the Rav explained to us that when Yizhalchu Migoy El Goy, Kadosh Baruch Hu went to every nation because every nation wanted to receive a Torah that was understood through human insight and appreciated through human insight. While Yisrael appreciated that the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah was going to resonate with the Ritzon Elyon, with a deeper personal culture that every Jew was blessed to have. And when did we get the Ritzon Elyon? That was given to us at Matan Torah. When we were Makdim Nasa L'Nishma, so then we were appreciated, because Baruch Hu bequeathed us that ability to have a personal culture that was somewhat affected by the sanctity of the Ribono Shel Olam, that somehow connected in the sense of his chavrus, the way that the Nefesh HaChaim would discuss. And of course, the Rav saw that this was the central to several halachos. The halacha of Kofin at Shemir Roitzani, the Rambam that the Rav drilled into us, and the idea of Asmach the Loikanya, that something can override our negotiations, the idea of having a Pesach and a Neder, all of that is a result of a deeper intellectual a deeper intellectual framework that is one of the gifts that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us at Har Sinai. One of the great concepts of Kadosh Baruch Hu that the Rav pointed out to us, both that the Chok has to be understood in broader terms than the limited halacha at hand, and that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us a Ritzon Elyon that Rabbi Turk spoke about intuition, that but it was an intuition that was so firmly based on the Amelos Torah that Rav Rosak referred to, that was based on a commitment to achieving all those emptas teresenu, but that there could be a Ritzon Elyon, something that is harder to quantify and harder to measure, but its presence was something that is so much part of Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kabbalah Satara. And as we prepare for Kabbalah Satara, hopefully this will help us appreciate some of the great parts of the celebration of the days of Sfira, which I think Ritamos will be discussing, and the Elder Matan Torah.